fans, followers, leaders, and true believers. I am recording a porch cast from my front porch, and I'm got the motherfucking Facebook up and running, and I'm going to sit here and shoot the shit to myself, my neighbors on the sides over here. They're going to think I'm crazy, and I could give a fuck. They already do anyway. They think I'm a crazy old man with PTS. I am the Obi-Wan Kenobi of real life. I am crazy old Ben. That's basically what I have become, and I am totally cool with that. Sometimes I talk to my Luke Skywalkers through the Force, which would be the internet, and that's, you know, kind of what the Force turned out to be. Hey, SW1, it's like, no, I'm Josh now, but still, what's up? What you got for me? But anyways, you might hear some barking, you might hear some kids screaming, but that's just because I live in a slightly populated neighborhood, and I'm sitting on my front porch. So I haven't done one of these in a while, and I feel bad because I've had a lot of people give me really positive feedback on civilianization, which is the podcast. If you're watching this live, civilianization is a podcast that I've been doing since the day I got out. Actually, I started it the night before my official civilian time started. This used to be called Joshua's Radio Show. Then it mutated into civilianization. Basically, just shooting the shit with fellow veterans, talking about what they did, what they do now, and that transition in between. And, you know, so it's got its own thing. And I dig it. I love how it just kind of mutated. Bear with me because, like, I do live kind of like right by a parking lot. So there'll be people coming and going every once in a while. So if you dig the show, I really appreciate it. And if you don't know, please, I guess I'm supposed to say stuff like this, like go like, subscribe. I've never really been a fan of pushing. But since you're here and I don't really feel like it's pushing, just a helpful suggestion. Go to your Google onto your fucking, what do you call it? iTunes or, you know, just type in civilianization on, what do you call it, the Googles. Yeah, just Google the shit out of it. Just Google civilianization podcast and I'll pop up. So anyways, like one of the things I've been doing lately is I've been helping out comic book store. I've been also doing stuff for other podcasts, and one of them I've been helping out with I really like is Vet TV's live show. I've been a guest on that a few times, so that's been pretty cool. And one of the things a lot of people don't know is, like, everybody has that 22 a day push-ups challenge. Instead of doing the actual push-ups, my running joke was, this is day whatever of not doing your push-ups for suicide prevention and awareness. And I had a lot of fun doing it that way. And some people really thought it was cool. Some people thought it was bullshit that I wasn't, like, actually participating in doing them. But I could give two fucks. You know what I'm saying? It's me. Who cares? But the thing was, my whole goal was to be able to remember some people that aren't with us anymore. And another thing, too, was just, like, some of the tidbits that I've gone through to help myself out. And I am saying me, I, because I don't want people to feel alone. It's not about me. It's about all of us. And a lot of times, us as veterans, we feel like we're, what would you call it? We're like a thoroughbred horse. We're an athlete. Maybe not a thoroughbred. Maybe that's a little bit too much credit for ourselves. Am I right? No, but an athlete. Doesn't matter how, if you're on the top line of the hockey team or the fucking bottom. It doesn't matter. You made the team. And we're on that team for many years. And got a plane flying over my head, which that's always cool. So anyways, the problem is a lot of times we think that, oh, shit, man, I need to stay in the game. I got to stay in the game. Got to stay in the game. And we have that mindset, like, all the time. Got to stay in the game. So when it's actually time to go see the doc, you're like, nah, I'm good, man. I got to stay in the game. I can't, like, not be here for the rest of the people. But the kicker is this, man. We're out of the game. We're done. We're, like, the game is... We're retired. Our jersey's in the rafters. You know what I'm saying? You did the walk-off home run or whatever, the final thing. You're Steve Yzerman with one foot on the ground and one foot still on the ice, and you go out and you are done. Your jersey's in the rafters, man. So quit having that athlete mentality. Think of the the mentality of the guy who actually fucking did it. You made the Hall of Fame. You did your time. You're in the history books. Good. Now, what you got to do is you got to get your fucking help. And a lot of people, we don't do that because we feel like, hey, man, I don't want to be that weak-ass bitch that went to medical and we did all that other fun shit. You know, because there's always the guy who takes his tooth out, his fake tooth out every 4 days because he's like, I know I can get off work for 4 days for this. So we go that fucking tooth out or whatever the excuse is to go to medical. And you've seen that. You've seen that guy play that game. You're like, I don't want to be that motherfucker. So that being said, you push off going. And then next thing you know, 2 years goes by and you're like, ah, I never went, never need it. And then who knows? You're sitting there one day and you're like, what the fuck, man? I should have went back then. There's this Neil Young song. And there's this Neil Young song that really taught me a lot. And basically what it says is there's no harder words than it might have been. And I took that to heart because, like, there's so many times you've been in a situation in life where you look back and in hindsight, you're thinking, damn, I could have done this. I could have done that. But you're just too scared. You're too hard to push. And then as an entertainer or an artist or a comedian or an entrepreneur, whatever, if you're doing something outside the normal realm, if you're a woodworker or a blacksmith and you're still doing this art or whatever it is, a lot of times you're afraid is, what if people don't like it? What if people don't buy it? And you just kind of got to get over that too, man. You got to be like, fuck them. I'm not doing it just for them. Yeah, you might be doing it to make some money, but you will never know unless you get out there and fucking do it yourself. And that's the hardest thing where a lot of us go through is just being able to get that fucking push. I'm not Bill Burr. I'm not anybody that's major in stand-up comedy, but I've been grinding the trenches for years. I've been in different places and lots of clubs, and I've had a lot of fun with it. And a lot of times people will ask me, like, hey, man, what's your advice? And I'm like, I don't want to give you advice on what should work for you. I just say what worked for me. And I think when it comes to doing anything, I don't give a shit if it's stand-up. I don't care if it's painting, if it's a fucking diet, trying to lose this weight. By the way, I'm down 12 pounds. But it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, the hardest thing is starting. And it, like, the hardest thing about stand-up comedy is fucking going up. Get off your ass and go up and do it. You know, it's just, you got to get away from the whole, what will anybody else think of me? And that's a lot of times too. I know people that are like, well, I don't want to go to the gym because I'm afraid of what people will think of me when I'm at the gym. And it's just the same thing. Like, who gives a fuck, man? Because I understand, but at the same time, when you leave, nobody's going to really remember you. And it's the same thing as comedy. Like, even if you suck, like, people aren't going to really remember. I mean, if you're fucking horrible and you talk about some, like, really weird or dark shit, then some people, they'll be like, what the fuck's up with this guy? But realistically, just go in the gym if that's what you need to do, or if it's, you know, painting or whatever. Oh, by the way, I have a cat that runs around here. This one's Spaz, and he just hopped off the wall, and now he's walking around in front of me, making me lose my train of thought. Cool cat, though. But no matter what, dude, starting's a motherfucker. And that's where I had this idea for, like, the longest time about the 22... You know, because everybody does the 22 push-ups, and that's where that whole idea for 22 days of not doing your push-ups for suicide prevention awareness came into. I was like, man, how's this going to be perceived? But a lot of times, too, is if you know that you're doing something for other people, just fucking do it. And if some people are fans of the podcast, but they don't follow me on social media. So those are listening. If you go to the Instagram at Josh96O'Brien, you'll see all those that are on there. And it's just like, you know, I don't know. I really thought they were kind of important. Yeah, I had to write some of them down because I don't even fucking remember, because I would just write down two words that I knew, or a couple words. Like, this is kind of like what I would go off of. And then like the first day, I just knew reach out. And then everything I said after that was just kind of what I thought. But, like, realistically, man, we got suicide prevention, suicide awareness. A lot of us can't relate with the everyday life, and that's one of the hardest things about being a civilian too. People don't get it. They don't understand what the fuck's going on. They don't get us, dude. Nor should they. We volunteered. I don't expect a medal or fucking. I appreciate when people say thank you for your service. I don't expect that. I appreciate it though. I don't expect a discount, but I appreciate it. We volunteered. Nobody made us do that shit. So when we go out in the civilian world, it's not really their fault if they don't understand us. A lot of it is we just got to understand ourselves and understand that we're not alone going through this. So there's a lot of people out there that don't get it. Fine. Fuck them. They don't get it. Good. That's fine. Okay. Great. We get it. And when it comes down to that whole stubbornness that we were talking about, reaching out. Reaching out is one of the biggest things, dude. And reaching out, boom. No, you're not bothering people. Reach out with people. No, you're not bothering people. Freaking, you're not alone. That was another one too, because we're not, dude. Like, we're all going through this shit together. And the funny thing is too, is instead of actually doing the push-ups, I was doing shots of whiskey. And a buddy of mine, because I'm not really a drinker. I went like from 2009 to 2016 completely sober. I almost said sober as a judge, but I know a lot of drunk judges, you know? So like, it was funny because a buddy of mine called me up. Are you okay? You're drinking a lot. And I'm like, no, well, it's just, I'm doing the podcast for the thing I was doing. So it's not like I'm an alcoholic or anything like that. It's just that, I did it cause I thought it'd be funny and you know, and it was. So, the fourth day was, sober, sobriety, cooler heads prevail. So like, if you're going through some shit, if you're going through a dark time, it might not be a good idea to be hammered, you know? So that's where a lot of times too is like, I'm not discouraging people from getting drunk when they get bad news. I think getting drunk instantaneously after you get bad news probably isn't a bad idea. But the day after and the days soon thereafter probably fucking would, you know, sober up. You know what I mean? Like that instant impact, I get it. You know, fucking if your dog got hit by a car, you know, family member has cancer or some shit like that, whatever it is, you know, I understand that instant, like, I need to get fucked up. Do it that day. Then after that, if it's fucking eating at you, cooler heads prevail, man. So that was it. And I'm no person to tell you to be sober. I'm not going to say join a organization, a cult, or a club. It's just a lot of times, you know, that cooler head prevails, man. What we got going on? Okay. What's up, Jay? What's going on, man? All right. Keep it up. I was never man enough to do when you did. The old blah, blah, blah. Oh, hey, it's Ed. What's up? I was actually kind of talking about you anyway. I did get a lot of them. It's all good. Okay. So, anyways, like I'm saying, man, a lot of times too, sober heads prevail. That kind of fun stuff. You get it. And reflected on good times. A lot of times when you're really down in the dumps and you feel like you're never going to amount to anything or you're kind of fucked where you are, like reflecting on good times, I thought that was a good thing. Because I sit back and I think about when I was 20 years old in Puerto Rico getting fucked up, like the third class. Remember when you're young in your career and everybody that's been in a year or two longer than you, they're those salty bastards and you're like, these guys are fucking awesome. Wow, holy shit, they've been on one deployment already. And, you know, and then like years later, you're like, wow, I was that young and impressionable about that. Well, never forget that. Everybody showing up has that same feeling about those people that have been only in there for like a fucking one deployment or 1 year. They've been there longer than you. Because everything goes so quick until then. Like, you go through boot camp, and boot camp's 2-3 months, well, 2 months. Then you go through schooling, which is like a few months. And then, you know, but when you show up and when you leave, you're going through this classes of like a couple weeks equate to a long time, or a couple months equate to a long time, you know, because these salty bastards, they've been here for 2 months, man. So when you get to your battalion and you see those people that did half of a deployment, you're like, oh, these motherfuckers, these guys been here forever. No, they haven't. They just been there for a little bit of time. And I keep getting these weird things popping up. But anyways, fuck that, right? Fuck it. So another thing I thought was really important too is thinking like people you've impacted. Go think back to those people that you've impacted, man. There's a lot of people, and it's crazy because I'm not gonna lie, like the other day, one of my dudes, we'll just say JT, good dude. He's a fucking, was one of my kiddos when I was at the FIB in Virginia Beach. And yeah, he's a little bit late to work. Hey, he's had the same kind of shit I had, same kind of attitude when it comes to things. But he's a hard fucking worker. He knew his shit. He busted his ass. If he was late here and there, I'd cover for him. And I'd tell him, dude, do I really got to talk to you? That'd be my whole conversation. Like, do I really got to say something? And usually it'd work. It always worked with him, actually, so that was cool. And that's many years ago. And at the same time, you see the potential in somebody, and you sit down with them, and you'd be like, hey, man, whoever wants to go through these classes, blueprint reading and sketching, whatever it is, whoever you want to help out, whatever it might be, and they absorb that shit. And then they advance, they call you, they thank you, and then it was weird. He's just like, hey, man, I'm re-enlisting on Wednesday. Can you come down? I'm like, fuck yeah, I can come down. So what I did was I hit up the Vet TV guys, and I went and I did another podcast with Vet TV. And, so I did some stuff with them, and that was really cool, you know. So, fucking Donnie O'Malley and Ron Ripley, those guys fucking hooked me up. So went down there, and then as I went to my one of my dudes' re-enlistments, it was like a fucking reunion of folks I haven't seen in a long time. So these little things that you did throughout your career and throughout your life, and I guess I'm mainly speaking to my military brethren and sistrins, fucking siblingsians, you know, it's just like it's really weird because you don't realize how many people you impact on a day-to-day basis, you know, especially if you got like a positive mental attitude about things. I had a shitty attitude about a lot of things, but I had a great attitude when it came to people. Because realistically, at the end of the day, it's all about the people, you know. Fuck it, I don't give a shit how many trinkets I wore on a goddamn chest, dude. I don't even have a fucking shadow box, to be honest with you. And you know, and the cool thing is, like, most of the stuff people give me, I put on top of my coffee pot as a daily reminder. And that's another one I'll talk about in a minute. But those, like, those people that you've impacted, that's one of the things that really kind of keeps you around a little bit. Like, if you're going through some shit, think about that, man. There's a lot of people that you've helped out, and you don't even realize it, you know. Because their lives have gone on, and they'll have that moment where they think back. And I mean, I remember going through some shit. Fucking Dougie Heiner, good dude, and I think he's watching right now. I mean, dude, you helped me out. I was going through my divorce, shit like that. You know, Martin Villapando helped me out. There's a lot of people. Marty Yingling, fucking Jimmy Redinger. I could just list names and names and names of people I remember helping out. Or blah blah blah. It's belay my last military folk. That have helped me out previously. And I don't really remember who I've kind of like, because you just do it because that's what you do. It's kind of like, do you remember when you washed your favorite fucking t-shirt? No, you just washed your favorite t-shirt. You know what I mean? I mean, you might remember the last time, but not four times before that. You know, it's just like shit you do. So another part too I thought was big importance was like the people you will impact, you know. So the people you have impacted, that's a big thing. And the people you will impact, like in your loss. All right, let me put Marita's on. South Dakota. What's up, brother? Well, South Dakota's fucking, you know, the only state I haven't been to is North Dakota. I've been to 49 and 50. North Dakota is still the one I have not been to. All right, so we just got done talking about the shiny thing. Oh, my God. Jonathan, secret of him. Okay. Boom. Scatterbrain. What? Anyway, like I was saying, people you will impact. You don't think about the people you have impacted, but the people that you will impact with your loss. That's a big fucking thing, you know. Because I don't know how many times I get that message. You get that message. You know what I'm talking about. You know that fucking message, that fucking motherfucking message, because sometimes there's some friends and family that you haven't heard from, but when you see that name pop up, you're like, fuck, because you know it's not good, you know, when you get those messages, and you're like, god damn it, something's fucked up right now. And that's the thing, when you get those messages, man, somebody passed away, you know, somebody took their life. That's like one of the hardest. And then you go through this whole thing of like, then you take all that shit in the back of your head. Like, what could I have done to have prevented this? You know, somebody fucking, and then you retrace your steps in conversations and you're thinking to yourself, like, what the fuck, man? You know, what could I have done to stop this? And then you walk away with like this fucking survivor's guilt. And then, you know, and that's the fucked up thing. That's a selfish thing that you would do if you took your own life, is you're going to put that on somebody. Somebody's going to feel that way. A lot of people are going to feel that way. Everybody that cares about you will, in the back of their head, will be like, what could I have done? What could I have done? Fuck. You know, and I'm still like that to this day. There's Eric Swinehart, good buddy of mine, was shot himself in his heart, you know, and it still bothers me because, like, I was sober at the time, you know, like, I mean, this is like that during that time frame I was staying, you know, but I was kind of, I don't want to say a sponsor because he really wasn't in a program. I've never been in a program, but he would call me a lot, you know, and he'd be like, hey, Obi, or, hey, Josh, how you doing? And he'd shoot the shit with me. And that would be one of the things that would really fuck with me because, you know, with him gone, I was like, what the fuck? And still to this day. And it's just like, what could I have done differently? But you got to realize, man, that you are a survivor. And that's guilt that will carry with you forever. It's survivor's guilt. It's got a fucking name and it sucks and it burns and it hurts. But that's something that you're going to put on somebody else if you're not here, man. You know, I'm not trying to be like, hey, you're an asshole. No, actually, I am. I'm going to tell you right now. If you kill yourself, you're a fucking asshole. And it sucks because you don't utilize the people that are there. And that goes right back to what we started with, this whole reaching out, man. Reach out to your friends. Reach out to your family. If you haven't talked to a vet in a long time, call them. You know, fuck me, dude. Call them right now. Well, then maybe not on the East Coast. I think it's a little late. But hey, either way, you know, reach out to somebody, you know, fucking helps. And then, but that impact that you're going to leave, it's pretty fucking hardcore, man. You know, so another thing too was doing good deeds. I always thought, like, it might sound selfish, helping. I know it doesn't sound right, but it kind of is. And you know what? It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not bad. Not a bad kind of selfish. It's a good kind of selfish. You want to get out there and you want to help some people. Take your mind off some shit. You know, go volunteer at a soup kitchen. Go hand out. Go to Sharon Care or somewhere in like fucking Bellevue or, you know, wherever. Toledo, Ohio, wherever you're close to. And then, you know, help out. And that's the thing too, is just volunteering. Like one of my favorite things that really helped me out, I was going through some shit. And I went with Team Rubicon. And there was a hurricane happened in Texas. And I went down there. And the best part about that was that during the whole hurricane relief and prevention, it just had a whole new meaning. Because you're there and you're also meeting a group of people you haven't ever met before. And some of these guys and gals, actually with Team Rubicon, most of those people were all veterans. So that was even cooler, you know. So you're hanging out with vets, you know, all that shit. And you're far away from home. You can leave all your bullshit behind. That was one thing I really loved. That's one thing I loved about being a CB. And if you don't understand what CBs do, is like a lot of the contingency construction that we do around the world and like the Habitat for Humanity type stuff. I miss those projects, you know, and that's, you know, and then going back to the whole thing is like, I guess if you asked my advice, I'm going to give it to you anyway, about people are like, hey, I don't know if I should get out or not. That means you should stay in. You know, but internally when you're like, it's time to go, then it's time to go. But if you're questioning, should I stay or go? Fucking stay, man. And that, because like when you're gone, you're gone. Life's long, dude. Life is fucking long. Like by the time you get out, it'll be before half of your lifespan. For the most part, for the most people, you know, by the time you get out, that'll probably be about less than half of your life. And you spend it in the military. So when you're gone, it's done. It's behind you, man. You're gone. You know, I don't know how many times I've talked to friends and family and vets that were like, man, I should have stayed on. I should have stayed on. And I'm not saying it's for everybody. I'm not. I'm just saying that if you're still thinking, if it's time to go, go, go. But if you're not sure, fucking stick around. And that's one of the things I really loved about that was that Team Rubicon. So I felt kind of like I was back, you know, doing hurricane relief or walking around with a fucking chainsaw in Puerto Rico or some shit like that, you know, good times, you know? So like I was saying, like that day was, the message was basically volunteer. And this coffee is good. I'm not getting paid, so I'm not going to tell you what kind it is unless they want to sponsor me. Then this coffee was brought to you by... Now, the people listening on the podcast, that was not a bong rip. That was me drinking coffee and being rude and drinking it into the microphone. So, okay. Another thing, too, on one of these days, like 9 or something like that, switching it up was my motivator. It was the first time I had a haircut in I don't know how long. And I think switching things up just on a day-to-day basis, clean up, man, just... change your day-to-day routines, do something different, and that a lot of times that gets you out of the funk, you know, or at least for temporarily, you know. If you need medication, then take your medication. If you need that kind of stuff, that's fine. Never dissing anybody for getting their head right, no matter how you do it. I'm just hoping you do it. That's, I don't give a fuck how, as long as you're not hurting anybody or yourself. Like for me, I'm not on meds, you know, because I don't believe I need them, but I do need to monitor a lot of things. I monitor like what I put in my, I know it doesn't look like it, monitor what you're eating, monitor what you're doing with your body. Like there's a lot of stuff, like if I know if I'm eating too shitty of food, it's time to fucking cut that off and move on. I switch up the diet, blah, 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 all that other fun shit. I know it's boring. Anyways, but yeah, switch up your day-to-day things, you know. And then old relationships, man. It's very, very, very important to reach out and hit old friends up, hit old family up. Because, you know, when we're in and we're doing this thing that less than 1% of this country does, less than a fucking percent, when we're doing this fucking massive monster fuck job, you gotta like realize the people that are with you are fucking all in. You guys are doing this thing together. Those people understand what you went through, where you were at, what you're going through. So it's very important to reach out. And a lot of the same problems that we have, you have, I have. Because like I said in the beginning of this whole thing, they don't get it. They're never going to get it. They don't understand what it's like to leave home at 17, 18, 19 years old. They don't get it. That whole, like, that sense of loneliness, that fucking, what the, that wonderment, like, that whole, that excitement that comes with fear together, they don't get it, man. And they never will. And that's fine. Honestly, I feel like they get ripped off on a lot of emotions, because when it comes to this country and how proud we are of it, granted, there's some fucked up shit that's happened here, but this country is an infant. And the beautiful thing about this country is we can change it, you know, and we've fought for change. And a lot of people are like, that's bullshit. You're not fighting for freedom. You're not. No, yeah, we are, you know, fuck you. We definitely are, you know, and that's totally fine if you want to disagree with me. But anyways, helicopter over. This reminds me of Guam deployments or Okinawa. Or yeah, Okinawa, actually. Okinawa was the worst. Where it's just like right when you're about ready to talk, then it was like, then jets would fly right overhead. It was crazy. But anyways, I'm going back to this. The whole thing is like reconnecting with vets and people like that. That's the whole lesson plan for day 10. And the reason why is because when you do that, there's a lot of people that it just feels good when you reconnect to your old roots. But at the same time, I mean, shit, even if you're a civilian and the people like you went through high school with, or you're in track or football or wrestled with or whatever, I mean, it's still good to get back with those people. But as far as like if you're in debt, like fucking Fallujah and shit, and you're Atsugi or whatever, it doesn't matter if peaceful place from, but Al-Assad to Atsugi, it don't matter. It's the people that you need to fucking reconnect with, because you might not need it right now, but later on, you probably will need to pick me up once or twice in a while. But it's always so good when you reconnect with old homies. And once again, this thing is popping up. Close that. All right. So anybody got any questions, any comments, any concerns, go ahead. Fucking feel free to type them in, and I will answer them. But in the meantime, I guess I'm just going to blabble. Blabble. I've been impacted pretty hard by a lot of, like, a lot of the suicides, man. And it kind of really fucks with you because I love talking to people, man. There's so many walks of life that I've lived, you know, and the military is a big part of it, you know, but doing the military thing, doing the stand-up comedy thing, doing the professional hockey thing, rock and roll thing, you know, fucking artist colony bullshit, you know, and there's so many really cool motherfuckers in it, and it sucks because you don't realize, I mean, you, whoever the fucking listener or the watcher is of this moment, you don't realize how much of an important person you are to everybody. I don't care how much you think you do, you don't. And I'm not on mushroom saying this. I'm telling you straight up, we don't realize the impact we have on other people, especially when you're gone. And it's really easy to fall back into that whole cloud that's like right in here. Like, it's so fucking easy to. Goddamn pop-ups, man. Resume. Wow, that keeps popping up. Okay. All right. Well, so that's kind of stole a lot of momentum of a nice, joyous conversation that I'm having with, like, all 17 of you. But I'm telling you, man, the thing is, hang in there. It's fucked up. Life's fucked. We're all fucked. But that's how it is, man. And the beautiful thing is it'll keep going tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Yeah, one day you're going to wake up and say, oh, shit, I'm dead. I'm just kidding, man. All right, man. So, it sounds like drag racing. By the way, I live where I live in East Hollywood. It's like the 101. If you're on the 101 and you're going south, continue. So, if you're going on the 101, I'm not going to give you my address, but I'm going to say if you're going on the 101 south, when you hit the Capitol Records building or when you see the Capitol Records building to your right, you have the Hollywood exit and then you have the Sunset exit and then the exit after that. So I'm 2 miles on the freeway from you seeing it. When you see the Capitol Records building, I'm 2 miles. You're 2 miles from my exit. That being said, it's funny because it sounds like a lot of people are fucking drag racing down there right now. It's pretty cool. So, all right, man. Floor's yours, guys. Or am I just talking too fucking much? Nobody. Bueller. It's funny because, like, after I do these, I'll post them. I'll have, like, 30-something different questions in the inbox. And I'll be like, son of a bitch. But wish I could plug tour dates and stuff like that. But everything's kind of closed, so been fortunate enough to I started working with a Golden Apple comic book store here, and it's on Melrose, and the owner was just on Fat Man Beyond. It's the Kevin Smith's podcast, which is really neat because there's like Back the Comeback was one of the things, and I'm a big fan of The Underdog, obviously, because we're CBs. We all are fans of The Underdog because that's what we were or are. And the thing is, I look at entrepreneurs like the same as me. I'm just a fucking guy. I did my time in the military, but halfway through my military, I started doing the stand-up comedy thing, you know? And then when you're doing stand-up or any kind of art, really, you're fucking putting everything you got out there. And that's like the whole thing with entrepreneurs, like mom and pop shops. That's why I fucking love mom and pop shops. Like Ed Wilson was just on here a little bit ago, which is a huge shout out. So to the Depot Pizza, man, in Fremont, Ohio. If you guys are going through, I'm like doing a commercial. They're not sponsoring me. Fuck them. Anyways, look, Depot Pizza, good thing. Awesome pizza, good food, all that other fun stuff. The Golden Apple Comics, another thing too, is it really means a lot to me what I'm trying to say is that when you have like a mom and pop shop, because these guys are putting everything they got into what they want to do. It's their fucking dream, you know, being in the county seat in a county in Ohio, you know, the biggest city in the county, and you got one of the most popular bars. That's a fucking big accomplishment, you know. And then just trying to be a bartender or bar owner. Fuck, man. Especially right now during this COVID shit. So that's why I'm trying to help out with some of these things that I really enjoy, because I don't want to see them go away. You know, I don't want to see a mom and pop shop gone. I don't give a shit if it's a fucking pizza place or comic book store, whatever it is, man. Your favorite fish and tackle place. Go buy some shit from them for a little bit. If it doesn't hurt you, that is, like, if you got a government contractor job or if you're on active duty, please go and buy shit from mom and pop stop. I'm not saying Amazon, blah, fuck them. Not at all. Amazon's awesome. I'm just saying, like, for the mom and pop shops out there, that way they can still do this, you know? So there's another thing too, is like, I'm just giving them a bunch of shit so that it goes into a fund and it helps out like other mom and pop shops, comic book stores, that is, you know? So it is what it is. It's silly. It's crazy. I know, we're in some crazy ass times, man. I just want to get in the car and fucking go. I miss that. I fucking miss that. And one thing I loved, I don't care if I'm in Seattle or if I'm fucking Virginia Beach or Chicago, whatever. There are people that show up and it's just like, fuck yeah, man. I don't want to say fans with an N. I want to say fams with an M, because it's like family, you know, and it means so much when you guys, you know, when I see you and I'm out in the fucking just trying to do my shit, trying to pay my bills by telling dick jokes. And then it's not fans, it's fams, you know, because like people show up and it's like, holy shit, man, I haven't seen you in years, you know, or 10 years. Some people, man, 20 years. Sometimes, and it means a lot, you know, and I miss that. I'm addicted to it. I don't care. Like a lot of people, how much money are you making on this? How much money are you making on this? Like half the time I'm losing money, to be honest with you. But at the same time, I'm doing what I fucking love. Like if we're all in it just for the money, half of us in the military would get the fuck out, because you're definitely, civilian counterpart usually is making three times minimum of what you're doing. As far as management goes, construction goes, all that other fun shit. You know, granted, it does feel good to be retired. But at the same time, if you're just in it for the money, then I'm not saying you're in it for the wrong reasons. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying if you're just in it for the money, well, that's not the right place to be if you're in the military for the money. Unless you're just a lazy motherfucker. Because there's some of you guys harboring in the military too. Lazy as fuck. Like, you probably wouldn't make it anywhere else. I get that. Doing the fucking bare minimum just to get by. It's a sad story, but it's true. People do it. I think we've all been guilty of that, though, at one point or another. Just some place where you're just like, fuck this shitty chain of command or whatever. And in the back of your head, I'm just going to do what I can to get by. And it's a sad, but I think we're all frustrated at some point. Or right when you're about ready to transfer, everybody, like, fuck it. Check out, sheets in. It's like, well, you're still here. Well, kind of. I mean, physically. The rest of my shit's halfway to fucking Connecticut. Wherever you're going next. So, man. Going back in the circle. Guys, ladies, gents. Whatever you call yourself, I don't give a fuck. Whatever it is, reach out to your friends, reach out to your loved ones, your veterans, your people that you've served with. It's very important. Yes, I do have a bug zapper if you heard that. It's pretty cool, man. I dig it. So, I don't know. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. All that other fun shit. Anybody got any questions for me? Bueller, 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 Bueller. All right. So, really wish I could plug stuff in. I'm going to be on a couple. I'll be on Vet TV again, I think, sometime right around Navy's birthday. Come back for that. I'm going to be on Armbar Podcast. Those guys are cool. Armbar Podcast. Those guys are some fucking MMA guys. There's one of the MMA places, and there's a jiu-jitsu place in Tungsten. I'm a steelworker. I say tungsten, but it's not tungsten. It's Tungsten. I don't know how to fucking say it. But that city, there's a MMA place that these guys are all out of. You know, some Marines, and it's pretty cool because usually we eat tacos and then we shoot the shit. So that's a fun podcast to be on. But you know, you can always check out back issues, like it's a comic book, back issues of this civilianization podcast. That'd be cool. And message me, whatever you got. I'm fucking here. So, in closing. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And never forget, Obi loves you. Oh, wait. That's how I ended the other thing. Hey, guys. I'm here. All year. Whatever. I'm just babbing. I got nothing. All right, close this down. Any questions, concerns, quotes, anything, stories? Can we tell some stories? If not, I'm going to go. So, cat fights happening over by my car. Neat. And it's like real cats, not two drunk bitches. All right, so let's see here. Oh, man, they're fucking pissed over there, man. All right, man. So for all those I follow, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. Peace, brother. Love you too, Dougie Heiner. All you motherfuckers, hang in. Keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. And don't forget, Obi loves you. Oh, buy some stickers. I got stickers. Instant message me. Whatever. My Venmo. Yeah, we're at that point in the fucking quarantine where it's like, I can't be on the road, so I'm going to sell fucking stickers. My Venmo is the same. Find me through Facebook. It's at Josh96OBRIEN. And tell me how many stickers you want. I got the O Battalion ones, and I still have the fucking 2- and 3-inch ones. So, fucking love you guys, man. And it's definitely weird doing this on my porch instead of the Comedy Store, which is another thing. Buy merch from them. But it's a mom and pop shop, believe it or not. You know, so, okay, fine. Fuck it. This time, we're all out. Okay. Right? Ready to go? You guys good? We good? You good? I'm good. You good? All right. That's what I thought. All right. Bye.